We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Parks is brought to us by your Tri-State Toyota dealers, a proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Elliot joins us every Friday at 3 o'clock. ESP, what is up?
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Good.
What's up, E?
Not as angry as Doug, so let's play Angry Doug, and then we'll get your reaction. Jack, do you have that ready to go? Here it is.
Washington had a lot of success blitzing against you guys last week, and I think they're sort of an obvious leap to maybe that was connected to having an inexperienced offensive line. Is that what you expect from the Rams this week? And it's only been one game, but how is their defense different than it was under Wade?
Can I ask you a question?
You want me to give away the game plan again?
No. How do you? I, and this is probably, I'm getting probably off the subject, but when you see teams that blitz and you always imply that it's an offensive line issue, where does that come from?
Well, I'm not saying that is the case, but I'm saying that's the leap that people would make because
that was the question you asked.
You have an inexperienced
pinned it on the offensive line. That's all I'm asking.
Well, I'm saying that I think that the leap from people is because you have an inexperienced offensive line that defense is blitzed. You can tell me that that's not the case. Maybe it was on the running backs. Maybe it was on the quarterback.
Yeah. I will tell you that. Some of it is on the quarterback. Some of it is on the running backs. Tight ends are in protection.
Mm. All right, Elliot. I had said my initial reaction was that, it's not good when your head coach is going back and forth with the media. He gave you kind of a snooty no to your question earlier in the week. But I feel like Angry Doug's more focused, Doug, right? Like, we saw that in 2017, and I expect a big week out of Doug this week. I think he's more focused when he's angry. What's your reaction?
Yeah, so I don't think Doug was angry today. I think an important kind of context to add there is he was kind of smiling during that whole interaction. I think he was actually in a better mood than he was earlier in the week when he seemed just straight up depressed after that loss. I'll just say that from knowing Doug, the 4 years he's been here, he's a guy that wears his emotions on his sleeve. You can tell right away what type of mood he is in. I think his players appreciate that from him. I think that's because he's an honest guy. So, I don't know if it's a good thing when he's in a bad mood, because that means things aren't going great. And I think his assessment of that is correct. I don't think things are going great with the Eagles right now.
Yeah, the idea that he coaches better when he's upset, I don't necessarily get that, because I don't remember him coaching better being upset. I don't remember Doug having
I think he coaches better when he's confident, when he's in a good mood. I mean, I think when you've seen Doug kind of falter is when things are going poorly and he kind of – he won't adjust, or he sticks to his game plan maybe more than he should. I think he's at his best. I mean, look, in 2017, Doug was confident every Sunday out there, right? I mean, and you saw that in his play calling, and he was aggressive against Washington as well. But overall, I think Doug really is kind of the mood. His mood mirrors what the mood of the team is. So when he's in a bad mood, I think that's a bad.
So what, yeah, but what was his mood going into Sunday? Right, he was happy, Doug. Right, how did that work out? Like, here's all I'm saying: that when he was terse with the media, and it was after the Jim Schwartz stuff, he wasn't having it with the media. He had great command over those press conferences, and it's a little bit different here. But I just like I feel like that when Doug's happy and when everything's going well, is he really as focused as when he knows and he's pissed at their performance and his performance? He just seems more focused to me.
Yeah, I don't get that read on him, to be honest. I think that his mood during the week, like I said, he definitely wears it on his sleeve. But I think when it comes to Sundays, he's not been the problem with this team. I can't point to many games they've lost because of Doug and the mood he was going in through the week. I think the Eagles just have a pretty flawed roster and players are underperforming. I think that's that's mostly why they lost on Sunday.
Yeah, and I would imagine he's tired of answering questions about last Sunday's game, and that's why he needs to control that and force people to move on to the Rams. Right, like either we're talking about the Rams or we aren't talking about anything. I'm past Washington. I'm past talking about what happened last Sunday. Like, that's for you guys in the media, radio, whatever it is you do all week. But we're on to the next game. That's what I want to hear. Now, because that's where I'm headed with you, ESP. Forget about last week. Nothing you can do about last week. This week, do you think they are going to tap into some new schemes or what have you and change up some of the things they did, not just in the running game? Obviously having Miles back will help them change up things in the running game and even stay more committed to it. But in the passing game, do you anticipate some different things, some different concepts in the passing game versus what we saw last week?
I do think that you will see Carson roll out a little bit more. I know that's kind of what everyone's been begging for all week. And I think you will see that mostly because this week, look, Washington, I think looking back now, clearly their defensive line is very strong, and it's really strong across the board. The Rams defensive line is better right up the middle. So I think there's more incentive to get Carson to the outside. The concern I have is I think LA's secondary is way better than Washington. And if you're only going to play, if you're only going to be playing Deshaun 50% of the snaps, I don't see any advantage there where I can trust these receivers to win one-on-one matchups in that secondary. So, yeah, I think they'll try different things, but I think the matchups in the secondary for the receivers are way tougher than they were last week.
Yeah, do not throw that ball over there at number 20. Don't throw it anywhere near him. I mean, he's twice the size of every receiver we have.
Yeah, I agree. But the whole secondary is good. I mean, they were seventh, in, I think, in the league last year on Pro Football Focus against the pass. So
yeah,
you're right. Jalen Ramsey, you want to avoid for sure. And I think part of the reason they're so good against the pass is because their defensive line gets such great pressure. But one thing that did stand out in week one is as good as the receivers looked in training camp, they were not that great. I mean, Jalen Reagor was open once, obviously, down the field. Carson missed him. And then he had the other long completion, but John Hightower is a bit of a disappointment. Deshaun only played 50% of the snaps. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside didn't get a single target. So as good as they looked in training camp, I think I'm back to being concerned about what the receivers can bring this offense each week.
Mm. Yeah, I think Doug recognizes that they weren't necessarily ready for the bright lights, at least to have that much of the game plan placed on their shoulders in the first game of the season. I think they come back Sunday, Elliot. There's a lot more Zach Ertz involved Sunday. I don't know why the hell the best receiver on the team wasn't seemingly a fixture in the game plan. It was almost as if he was an afterthought in the game plan. So I think they do a little bit more bootleg and rollouts, some easier throws to get the offense a little bit momentum going, and then you can take some shots down the field if they present itself.
I also think that's about getting Carson going too, right?
That's the offense, of course.
Well, he is the offense. Yes. That's true. But the other interesting thing Doug said today, since you brought up Zach Ertz, was the Zach Ertz touchdown that he caught against Washington, that was actually a play designed for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. It's just they covered Arcega-Whiteside on the play. And my main takeaway from that was there's another example.
Exactly.
Not teaming for Zach Ertz. Like, I understand maybe there was another play called for him and, you know, went to somebody else, but you almost went that whole first drive without your number one receiver getting a catch or a target. So I thought that was interesting. Doug brought that up.
Yeah, that wasn't a good. Yeah, that wasn't a good answer. Yeah, that wasn't even meant to go to Zach Ertz. That was a play call for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. What?
Yeah.
So the guys that didn't play last week, Miles Sanders has announced that he's going to play. Lane Johnson earlier in the week announced that he was going to play. What's the status on some of the other guys? Derek Barnett, he was pretty much a full participant going into today. Do you expect him back as well?
Yeah, I do think Derek Barnett's going to play. I think Lane's going to play. Miles, as you mentioned, has said he's going to play. I don't think Javon Hargrave is going to play, but it seems like he's at least trending up in the right direction. He practiced somewhat this week. He was limited, but he hasn't practiced. I mean, since basically the start of training camp, he's been out this whole time. So that's encouraging. But, I mean, getting Barnett back, I guess it's a help at this point. But I personally think Josh Sweat is a better pass rusher than Barnett is. So I still hope they give Sweat those reps. But they are definitely getting some guys back heading into Sunday.
Mm.
Well, talk to us about Sunday, dude. Break it down for us. How you think it's going to play out?
So to me, the biggest thing with this game is I think when you look at the two rosters and the two teams, I think they're pretty evenly matched. I think maybe the Rams have a slight advantage. I think the Rams' offensive skill position players are better. I think their defense are pretty even. So what it comes down to me is, in years past, we've seen Doug Peterson's team win this game. Like when the backs, when his team's back's against the wall, they've come out and they haven't really let the ship kind of fully sink, right? 6-7, 2 years ago, all that stuff. So they've shown they can rebound. My question is, does this group of guys have it in them? And that's why when it really comes down to it, I'm picking the Rams to win this game, because they have to show me that they have that same play that the other teams have. From being around the team all year, or all training camp, just from being around them last week, feels like something not great is going on with this team right now. So I'm not as sure that they're going to come out on Sunday and show that kind of fighting resiliency we've seen from them in years past.
Mm. Wow. What's the score?
I think 27-20, Rams.
Mm. Yeah. can't even put up much of an argument with you.
I know stuff's not going great.
Yeah.
Well, Elliot, we will hear from you on the pregame show, and maybe we'll talk to you after the game, too.
And the thing, real quick, the thing Elliot brought up that I wholeheartedly agree with him on, because he and I have discussed this as well, privately, the mojo around the team. Like, the thing in years past is that all these guys have found some sort of rallying cry to bond together and band together for one common cause and give it their best effort. And it was last year was, let's rally around these walk-on practice squad wide receivers. Everybody pick up their play. Get on Carson's back. Let's do it. We know it was Nick Foles the 2 years before that, the backup quarterback theory. I don't know what they have to hang their hat on right now when some of those guys aren't here, and then some of those guys that are here, like, are they bought all the way into the Eagles right now? You know, I'm talking primarily about a guy like a Zach Ertz. I'm talking about a Jason Peters, who basically had to reluctantly go over there and beg for money to be the left tackle. Like, are all these guys
– Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, D-Jack.
50% of the snaps.
Right. Yeah. Him not happy on the sideline. What type of mojo is that in one Novacare? That's what has me worried, is that I don't know if the rallying towel is there for them to reach for and grab. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, and on the flip side of that, though, that's why I think this game is so important. If they can come out and win this game, those things you're talking about, then they can start to grow those as a team, right? Then they can do the whole us against the world thing. They pull to 1-1. You put week one in the rearview mirror. But I think the difference between this week, and you hit it on the head with those players, is if this starts to go sour, I think there's players on the roster, and honestly, maybe Doug, that feels like this could be their last season. And that's when things really start to go poorly, because people start to look out for themselves, right? And if you lose this Sunday, it's just a different type of pressure. I don't think they've ever gone into a game with the idea of, hey, if Carson struggles again, like, the majority of this city could turn on him. I think you're already starting to see it this week. If Doug struggles, I think you start to hear about, is he replaced? And this core of guys have never really experienced that. So that's why I think it's such a huge kind of emotional game for them on Sunday.
Agreed. ESP, thanks, brother. We'll talk to you.
Yep. Talk to you soon.
All right. There he is, ESP. Coming up, Phil's playing today against the Blue Jays, and we will start leading off right after this. Mark Sinriso, 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.